The last couple of weeks, there's been this connection between having faith and being healed, which is interesting and slightly bothersome to me, because it kind of feels like it puts the burden on me to have enough faith to get healed. And if you don't get healed, if you're sick, it's your own dang fault. In fact, at the end of this one, Jesus says that he was appalled at their disbelief. And again, that kind of just feels yucky to me, because I don't always believe very strongly. And sometimes I'm pretty filled with doubt. God seems to work on the long game. Like, God understands thousands and thousands and millions and billions of years. And because God is so big and expansive over time, I don't think God gets as concerned about stuff as we do. But we do. It is my life. And so I do get concerned and scared and hurt. We're asked to believe really big things. Things like the end of death. Like, death has been defeated, I will tell you. All the time I say that. And yet, people still die and cancer is still there. I ask you to believe in the resurrection. And I haven't seen it yet. We say every week that we believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and yet we look around and see the actual church. And sometimes I can't. I just... The church we call the Bride of Christ has done so much harm. Christians invented racism as we know it today. I mean, human hierarchies always existed in some form or another. People always felt like their group was better than another group. But the way we frame it and understand it today, Christians invented that. We invented white supremacy, we Christians. We've been staunch defenders through the years of racism and sexism and ableism and homophobia and colonialism and all of that stuff. Christians today, all around our country, will celebrate colonialism more than they celebrate the kingdom of God. The church is often ugly, ugly and harmful. There's all the recent news in Canada about the Indian schools and the mass graves being found. And, I mean, it's hard to believe some days. And here Jesus says he was appalled by their disbelief, and that just feels like it's an attack on me. I know plenty of unbelievers who are far more holy and Christ-like than lots of Christians I know. And so what in the world is going on? And here's what I want to say to me and to us, is that those kind of doubts that I just talked about, that's not the kind of disbelief Jesus is talking about in this passage. It's not what he's talking about. So when we have a hard time believing and seeing through the muck that is around us in the church, the big things we're expected to believe in, even through the pain, all of that stuff, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Thankfully, if we take a step back and look at the bigger picture of the scriptures, there's a lot of permission for doubt. A lot of permission for doubt. We believe, Lord, help our disbelief is something we say every week now in church, and that comes straight from the scriptures. I believe, help my unbelief. And that's a beautiful thing to say, because that's us. at the Great Commission, when Jesus has risen from the dead and he's hung out with his people for a long time now. And they're like, no, they saw the resurrection. And the Bible says the 11, because Judas is now not part of them, the 11 gather around him, and they believed and they doubted. That's what it says. They believed and they doubted all at once. So this isn't what Jesus is talking about. I think what this passage and the others like it, the woman last week who just reached out and Jesus says, your faith healed you. What this is meaning is that the way God works is that God's normal way of acting is to form partnerships with others for the life of the world. I think that's all it means, is that God works in partnerships. A phrase that has stuck with me for a long time, it's a theological kind of phrase, but it says something like, God's grace is always mediated. So God's grace, the powerful, healing, transformative goodness of God amongst us, is mediated. It goes through something. And so we have some things all around us. God's grace is mediated through water. And so when you walk into the sanctuary and walk out, I want you to touch the water. Somehow, God's grace is mediated through the water. Touch it. Remember your baptism. Remember that God gives life to the world through water. It's mediated through bread and through wine when we come here and we say, these are the gifts of grace. May Christ be fully formed in you. Somehow, God's grace comes to us through stuff. We light candles and we make artwork. And we bless one another with peace. May the peace of the Lord be with you. That is grace being mediated. So all I'm saying is that I think what Jesus is saying here, in his hometown where he couldn't do very many miracles, except for touch his hand on people and heal them. Such a funny phrase. He couldn't do anything except he did. Anyhow, God wants to work with us in partnership. That's what that means. So go ahead and doubt when you're having a bad day. You have permission to doubt. God's bigger than your doubts. Thank God. And then look for the ways that God's working in the world. I see a lot of Christians who sometimes say they really center the church in God's work in the world. They think that, and I'm sure that I used to be one of these, I'm positive, that good things aren't really good unless it's a Christian something. It has to be Christian, and then it's good, or then it will be worthwhile, or then it will be permanent, or something like that. And I want to say, baloney! Because what God does in the world is work for the good of the world. And because God is bigger than us and bigger than the church, what God wants is the good of the world. So anytime any good happens, it's God behind it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, not just Christian blessings. All blessings. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. All blessings, all of them. So, I say that to say that what I think small faith is that Jesus might be disgusted by is the kind of faith that thinks that God is so small, God can only work through the church. That's small faith. That's doubt. That's little bits of faith. That's not believing in the God of the universe. I want us to have a big faith in a big God. That God's everywhere working for the good of all people, all the time, partnering with anyone. God partners with anyone and anything that might display God's love in the world. So anytime you see God's love being displayed in the world, whether it has a Christian label or not, there is God at work. And that's big faith. So I want to get to this passage. So at the end of this passage, Jesus sends out the 12. Sends them out and has them do some things. In most of our Bibles, the translation is something like they go out and announce repentance or that change your hearts and lives or something like that. There's another way to translate that, and it's what I read today, and it is change is possible. The kind of grammatical construction of that can say change is possible. Announce that change is possible. And isn't that good news? They were throwing out many demons, which is just a really fun picture, isn't it? Change is possible, and they were throwing out many demons, and they were smearing olive oil on many people, and they were healing them. It's like a great, great passage. And I want to say to us, that's what we ought to be. People who walk around and say, hey, change is possible, and we throw out demons, and we smear olive oil on all kinds of people, and we're healing them. And oh, what a great thing. What a great thing. Demons. Because of our culture, we think demons and we think like some kind of horror movie and horns and pitchforks or something. I don't know what you think of, but it's where my mind goes. Let's have a bigger imagination for demons, eh? The things that haunt us, the things that hold us back, the things that keep us in pain, which might be my own thoughts and my own feelings. My own demon might be when I think to myself, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough. My own demon might be when I can't trust people, because the world's not safe, and so I hoard my resources to myself. Demons might be legislation that's evil, that hurts people. Demons might live in law books, and they do. Demons might live in policies, in corporations, in low wages, in war. Demons come in all shapes and sizes. So let's be people who say change is possible and throw out all kinds of demons. Smearing olive oil on people. What a funny thing to think, eh? Olive oil tastes delicious. I don't know why you're smearing it on people. It's a kind touch. To smear oil on somebody in the ancient world was an act of blessing, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. In fact, a symbol of empowerment. To give power to somebody who doesn't have any power is smearing oil on them. It's moisture for dry skin. It's perfume for the stench of decay. It's power for the powerless. It's belonging for those rejected. Smearing oil on people is a funny thing to say in our day, but it is a beautiful idea. And so let's be people who announce change is possible and then get to work smearing oil on many people, providing power and love and safety and belonging. And they were healing. And they were healing. I want to say here that we need to slightly reimagine healing. Too often what we think of as healing is we set up a standard of normalcy, and then we think that healing is bringing people into what we define as normal. So perhaps healing isn't so much getting somebody out of a wheelchair or a walker, but maybe healing is more fixing the building so that it's accessible. Maybe healing is fixing our own attitudes, healing our own attitudes so that we don't exclude. Maybe healing is fixing our laws and our policies and our theologies that keep some people out or down or behind. So we stop defining what normal is to begin with. So let's be people. Let's be people who announce change is possible and go around being agents of healing in the world, including healing our own misplaced judgments and theologies and standards. Today is, it is my last sermon as the senior pastor of this church. I seriously thought about, for my final sermon, just reading that children's book that just came out by Rachel Held Evans. And I mean, that says everything you need to hear. Everything I ever want you to know is in that little kid's book. But I didn't do that. I just went ahead and read what the scripture said, so there it is. I want to leave us with a big faith in a big God of big love. A God who's helping to rid the world of demons, all kinds of demons, including our own self-doubts and fears. A God who's helping to smear oil on all kinds of people, especially the powerless. And a God of healing, rightly imagined, a God who is love and who is safe and in whom we all belong. Lord God, would you help us to know you as that kind of God? A God who is love and who is safe and in whom everyone belongs. God, really, help us to be people who go around saying, hey, change is possible. Help us to find and throw out demons. Help us to find ways to smear oil on all kinds of people, especially the powerless. Help us to be people of healing in the world, people who bring peace. Would you do this in us, through us, because your grace is always mediated. Here we are, we say, God, use us. And we pray this in your name, the God who is known as creator, redeemer, sustainer, one God. Amen.